Hello again, and welcome to the Referees World podcast. Now, normally we don't start this way. However, I would just like to point out that this particular episode was recorded in February. And since the recording of this episode, we have had changes in government restrictions. So some of the material that we do discuss may appear to be slightly out of date. However, what I can tell you is that grassroots football will return at the end of March 2021, which is great to hear as well. However, there are a few things that are still uncertain. And these are the kind of things that we will go into discussion about in this episode of Referees World. Thank you for listening.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to another episode of the Referees World podcast, which offers training and education for referees of all levels. You can now listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5 p.m. and now you can listen to our complete back catalogue by clicking the Listen Again section of the website refereesworld.co.uk. Don't forget to enter your email address into the subscribe box and then we'll notify you every time there's a new episode or indeed some news that you need to know about. My name's Darren Cullum and I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA and this is PGMOL Observer and South West Pool Observer Coordinator Richard Mellon. I always trip up on your titles, Rich.
Thanks for repeating them, Darren. They're starting to flow quite well off your tongue.
Well, I don't know, it gives you an air of distinguishment.
Oh, I think my grey hair does that now.
That's a good point. So just to put you in the picture here, we're recording again on a Saturday morning in February and temperatures are not great and we're still in lockdown. We've just finished recording our interview that we did with Jan Tir Hamsel from the Dutch Referee blog and that will hopefully give you a sense of time and day. So with this particular episode, it's just going to be back to me and you because we've been so busy with guests over the last recent few episodes, Rich. Let's get back to basics.
Yeah, let's do a Darren and Rich podcast then.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Okay, so we're still in lockdown, as we've said. Rich, before we start, what rumblings are you hear, if any, about football coming back this season?
This season, I suppose, is the... there's no date. I know that there will be a review at some stage, but we're still waiting for the government to sort of ease the restrictions and then see what happens from there. But at the moment, there are competitions in conjunction with working with the FA, the supply leagues and up to the Football League, who are still playing, but just below that level, they're talking about null and void. And that's not the outcome that we want, but it probably has to be a sensible decision in the end. And maybe null and void is the sensible decision. I can't tell you because, like I say, I listened to the Tool Station Western League podcast, and Chairman John Paul talks about null and void on that, but he can't make a decision. He's only going with what's happening at the moment with the meetings that they're having with the FA. And so we just have to wait and see what happens.
It's a tricky one, really, isn't it? Because you're going to have some referees which are thinking, well, that's going to scupper my plans for any promotion that I may have. And then you're going to have others that are going to be purely disappointed because they felt they were on a good streak. And that's all been put to the side. So it may have a knock-on effect with mental health issues as well. I suppose there's a serious issue, isn't it?
Of course, the well-being side of it, mental health issues, are all there in the discussion pot. And the only thing I look at is if I separate refereeing from playing, with playing, the clubs at Supply League, contributory and above, there are promotions involved, demotions involved, promotions and relegations involved. Players are on contract. So there are decisions to be made there by the clubs, which, you know, is hugely important to them. As regards refereeing, if I talk about what I know as regards level four stuff, we have to have a level playing field for our referees. And so consequently, how many games have some of our level four referees done? What chance have they got of progressing? So it all has to be discussed in there. And who's to say that they may say there will be no demotions in the refereeing criteria or no promotions at lower levels. But what they may do above that, I cannot make comment because I don't know, you know, and it'd be foolish to sort of speculate on it and start rumours, which could be, you know, unfair.
That's the thing. You don't want to be starting rumours and saying things that you don't know anything about, because then that's when rumours turn into rumour mills and so on and so forth. And then bad feeling starts to appear. We don't want any of that. So we've got to look forward, be positive. It's going to be an interesting situation when the games do go back and referees do get back out on the field of play, and how each individual referee deals with a game in terms of fitness, in terms of remembering the laws of the game, the basics and stuff, because after a long period of time out of it, you can get rusty. And I can say that through experience, having had 4 years out of the game and coming back in October last year. And I know that I had to have a good sort of 2 or 3 months warm up before I was anywhere near to where I potentially was before I finished.
Well, I remember that cold, wet, I think it was October afternoon, might have been September. And it was a real cats and dogs afternoon. I think I described it like that when I came out and watched it, because I had nothing to do on that particular afternoon. And respecting lockdown, which I have done, you gave me the opportunity to sort of come out and have a watch locally. And it was necessary for you to go through those half a dozen games just to get in a good rhythm again, wasn't it? You know, and I think that's what we all need as referees who have been inactive for so many months. I don't believe that football can start if, let's use this as a chance, if we were to start in the middle of March, how many games, how many practices, how much training do we need to do as referees to get back in the good rhythm, in the good? Because accuracy, management, teamwork, they all come in to the referee demands, expectation. You know, players will go out there, they may have had 2 or 3 training sessions midweek. What are our referees doing? I'm trying to support referees that I know locally just by posing a couple of questions, sending them out little bits and pieces, sending them a match video to have a look at, and just to get them in that mode of making decisions. And so consequently, it is going to be tough, and it's not going to be as easy as what we like it to be.
I think we should potentially work on some top tips or some ideas for people to start getting used to, going back to the basics and talking about it on the podcast, so it just refreshes people's memories as we approach that time when potentially games may start to happen again. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I go totally along with that, Dad, because giving tips, giving advice, giving guidance is what we're about as the Referees World podcast. And how many times have I said this? Probably every podcast for the last half a dozen podcasts. We always need to refer back to the basics. Mm-hmm. We talked about the basics when we done our last podcast, just you and I, before we started talking to Lee Probert. Lee mentioned going back to the basics. We then done podcasts with Andy Garrett, and Andy Garrett talked about the basics. We all need to rely upon and remember the basics. And it is quite straightforward as that. You know?
I tell you, one of the big things that came out of listening to the second episode with Andy Garrett was him practicing his flag techniques in front of the mirror. honestly, mate, that for me is genius, and it is so simple. It's like when I said to him, you know, a ballerina, a dancer practices in front of the mirror to see how they get. Yeah. And it's exactly the same. I tell you what I should have asked him at the time was he actually dressed in his referee kit at the time?
Yeah. Was it a tutu or referee shorts?
Oh, brilliant. Andy, if you're listening, there's an image as well.
Sorry, Andy, I didn't say that.
No, you're not sorry at all, mate. Let's be honest about it. But yeah, it is going back to the basics, and it is tips like that. And if we can offer those as part of the Referees World podcast, then hopefully it will help referees sort of just refresh themselves before they go back out on the field of play, Rich.
Well, let's go down to some real basic stuff now. I mean, some of our referees, level sevens, could be their first season, might be their second. They're looking for promotion to six. We got level sixes looking for promotion to level five. Possibly, and I'm not saying this is any truth behind it, there may be a reason to get the county FAs to start thinking about promotions of those referees that meet the criteria of having done enough games, having got enough observations in, and they can then progress those guys through the system. But above that, from level four upwards, I'm not sure that there will be much movement on the referee merit table.
OK, let's move on the Referees World podcast. Let's go into some emails that we've received. And if you would like to get in touch with us, by the way, we'd love to hear from you. You can do a search for the website, first of all, and get in touch that way. Just search the Referees World podcast. We've done a little bit of work on the website recently, so now you can listen back to our complete back catalogue. To this point, I think it's 70 episodes or 71 episodes, I think it is, over 10 years. So there's a lot for you to dip into and hopefully learn from as well. And when you're there, there's a little subscribe button. Just pop your email into there and then you can subscribe and listen to us. You'll get a little email when we've done something new or we've got a little bit of news for you. Now, here's an email from Macaulay Unwin. He says, "Hi, guys. Hope you're both well in these strange times. I'm a relatively new ref at the age of 26, possibly too old to make it to the Football League." Well, actually, no, I don't think so, because Andy Garrett was saying, wasn't he? He was 36 when he made it. But he goes on to say, "I'd like to see how far I can go. I've loved listening to the podcast over recent weeks. My ears pricked up in particular when you were joined by Rob McDonald, who was talking about the St George's Park training camp, which obviously you were a part of, Rich, and obviously you arranged. So I was wondering whether or not this was something that was run on a regular basis and that was something we could look into."
We are going to focus on doing St George's Park training camp again for referees. At the moment, there's no date set, but we're looking towards the end of July. We don't know when the next season is going to start for any club in the country. So we have to be sort of flexible with our dates and setting things up. What? Remind me anything else that came in there, because I've already forgot that.
What, in terms of...
What Macaulay's asking. Oh, he said about being too old at 26. No way. No way. No. I started refereeing much older than Andy, actually, because Andy was 21 when he started refereeing. I was 28, 29, and I managed to get to the Football League, and I was 41 when I got to the Football League. So in answer to Macaulay's comment, you're not too old, Macaulay. 26 isn't a bad age. You've got mature years in life, mature years in football to learn a little bit, and I would say, if you've got aspirations to move to the higher areas of football, then take on the challenge.
Interestingly, Andy Garrett was saying that he retired at 57. So if you look after your fitness and one thing and another, then the world is your egg.
Yeah, and just to say, Andy retired at 57. Andy retired from the Premier League at 57. Yeah, so, you know, not just local football. Andy was on the Premier League, and he was 57. His last game, Norwich City, I think he said, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Norwich City. So, you know, there is opportunity there if you have aspirations to push on you know, the desire to sort of get involved. And if, as Macaulay certainly sounds like he has, then, you know, we welcome his involvement. And if he needs any support, he just makes contact with us.
Our next email is from Adrian Berry. He's basically saying, "Hey, this is my first season as a four and the pace has certainly ramped up. Player expectation is key. Must give them mandatories and be fit. Handball is a tricky one. I was in an excellent position just outside of the box when the striker shot on goal and the defender did a sliding block but put his hands above his head. Due to good positioning, I blew for the penalty immediately. The defender was rolling around on the floor holding his head and I was under a lot of pressure. The physio made an attempt to come onto the field and I said no. I knew the player was faking it. As he got to his feet with players giving me grief, I gave him a quick yellow card for deliberate handball. This incensed the defending captain. I was just about to give him a 10-minute break in the sin bin when the player getting to his feet said, 'I wish I did hit me in the face.' The skipper then apologised. He stayed on the field and we all had a good tight game. This is my third full season in the middle, 7-5, then 5-4. And at 49, I feel like I'm 29. Nice little story there, Rich.
Yeah, that is a great description of a match incident, and it says everything in there, doesn't it? How it was set up, where he was, and what the actions of the player who was blocking the ball, where it hit him, where he people claimed it hit him. I mean, it is about accuracy, confidence, self-belief. If you've got any doubt, when you see these incidents, or you may be sort of half obscured from seeing what goes on, just run it through your mind again before you finally make a decision. You don't have to make split-second decisions on everything that goes on, because sometimes split-second decisions could be wrong decisions. So I'm not saying take an age to make your mind up if it's a throw-in, but just, you know, calmly control yourself, know what you've seen, know who played the ball last, and give your signal. And as Adrian says, in this case, he gave a penalty. He knew he had that belief. He knew what he'd seen, and he made the correct decision. And sometimes you do have to be quite strong in your application. And if the captain of the defending team comes towards him, just because he's the captain, doesn't give him any exceptions regarding an opinion. He has to be controlled, or, you know, at least ask the question in a calmly manner. If he doesn't ask the question in a calmly manner, then use the sanctions that are provided by the laws of the game for you, including simbing, as we've talked about in podcasts recently. You know, so there's a lot out there to learn. There's a lot out there to do. And going back on what Adrian said, as regards the pace is ramped up, certainly don't underestimate the pace when you step up a level. And that goes for any level. He stepped up from level 5 in Wiltshire, and he's now level 4 in his first season. He will find the demands are different, because the game is still the same. It's still the same rules, but the players expect, the player's ability is different. It's better. And that happens at the next level as well. When you go 4-3, 3-2, 2-1. It's forever pushing the boundaries of challenge towards the referee. So don't underestimate, you know, when you're on the touchline watching or running the line as an assistant, it looks easy if the referee's got control. But don't think it's easy when it's out there just because you're in the middle. It will challenge you. And like I say, there's plenty of guidance, plenty of tips, plenty of help. If you guys are listening to this, if you need that help, just ask, and we'll willingly give every assistance that we can.
And one more email from Jerry Whitcomb, who says, having watched several matches recently, it's become apparently that this rule in the Premiership and Championship does not apply to this offence while the players are in the penalty box. Have seen referees caution players when offence happens in normal play, but as soon as they're in the penalty box, never seen one given. In fact, once saw attacker's shirt nearly pulled off his body, no decision by the referee. Have I missed the part of the laws of the game regarding this offence? It might be a good topic to talk about. That's from Jerry.
Jerry is
a can of worms.
Hello, Jerry. I haven't seen Jerry for a few years, but I know Jerry's based in Bristol. So nice to hear from you, Jerry. The issue of holding shirts, wherever it may be on the field of play, penalty area or not, it does have that challenge for obvious reasons. But just because a player is holding a shirt, is he actually pulling the shirt? Pulling the shirt has a different impact on the ability for the player who has the ball to progress. So I don't want to sound contentious here, but think about holding and think about pulling. There are different ways of holding. Holding with the shirt with the hand may not be as strong, as aggressive as pulling the shirt. Look at how that happens. There's a difference when you're holding a player with your arm wrapped around his waist or something like that. There's a difference in holding. So try to recognise that, guys. Holding and pulling, yes, they are penal offences. But look at how the impact of it happens. And this is what goes through a referee's mind. Do I need to blow the whistle for every piece of contact? Holding the shirt, pulling the shirt, there is a difference. And everything else, go through the laws of the game as regards penal offences and see how many different interpretations or ideas you can see about penal offences. Break it down. Handball. That's the obvious one that everybody is challenged by. We have all been challenged at. And the interpretation has changed over the years. The harsher interpretation is applied by Football League and the Premiership referees. And that is expected there. They will get that they will get checked, they will get scrutinised, VAR, etc., etc. We're not going to go into the conversation about VAR and that, because that's an ongoing project, and that will remain as work in progress for the next season or two until it settles. But handball is a challenge for all of us. Look at the guidance that's given in IFAB book. Look at your own ideas. Have a look at some clips of handball. If you want some clips of handball, we can put something on the blog or on our website and you know, give an idea of where the ball hits. Would you penalise? Where is the arm? Is it down by the side? You know, is it in an unexpected position? I think we had this conversation the other week there on the telephone, didn't we?
Yeah. I think it's a great idea, actually, to add some stuff like this onto the website.
You know, we can do, you know, we could probably put some stills up, which is probably the easiest thing. But the stills don't always indicate the actual movement of the arm. But it is the movement of the arm. Is the player trying to take his arm out of the way of it being hit by the ball? That has to be considered. If he's taking his arm out of the way of being hit by the ball, is that still a handball offence? Mm. He's trying to avoid handball. You know, surely we should be recognising that as a player, part skill of trying, I don't want a handball, I'm taking my arm out of the way. But unfortunately, the pace of the game, the speed of the ball, movement, will still hit the arm. So are we still penalising it? Should we still penalise it?
And this obviously comes down to your game management and your game techniques as well. There are, as you've already mentioned, some referees that would probably stick to the law of the game all the way through. But is that good for the game and how the game would flow? Sometimes, on a pacey game, in a cup final perhaps, no, I think you'd actually do yourself more injustice than justice.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the pace of the game and everything else, the enjoyment, etc., etc. Of course, that's why we're out there, to enjoy a game of football, whatever our role is. But the pace of the game can be a little bit manic, can be hectic. And so consequently, the referee, with his knowledge of the laws and understanding game management, recognising the tempo and the temperature of the game, then free kicks do help control. Mm. It does calm players down. It does slow the tempo down slightly. But we shouldn't be deliberately doing it, but we need to be doing it to help our match control. That's a very, very challenging skill to be the master of.
Rich, before we go, because our 20 minutes are up,
yes,
I need
mate.
To mention that we have made it into the top 10 soccer referee podcasts that must be followed in 2021. I was contacted by the chap that runs this blog, who is from the States, and his name is Anuj Agarwal, I think it is, and he's mentioned the fact that we are number 5, which isn't too bad considering we've only relaunched the podcast back in October. So I'm quite pleased to see that we are thrown into the top 10 mix of soccer or football podcasts from around the world.
Well done, Darren. Well done, mate.
So, yeah, all good stuff. Right, yeah. Okay, that's our lot done for this episode. Don't forget, let's just recap. We have done some work on the website, so you can now listen back to all of our podcasts from when we started back in 2010, Rich. Wow, 2010. How mad is that?
Yeah. I think what I might do, Dar, is label those podcasts with a brief background of what is in there. Because, like I say, I was having a look through some of them earlier in the week, and I enjoyed listening to one or two, which I had forgotten about. So maybe just put a description on our website of what's on that podcast, because we did have some good interviews and some good topics as well, didn't we?
See, it's not going to hurt to actually dig some of that stuff out and play it as an archive retro flashback feature on the podcast. I say Zuff's doing the work then, doesn't it? So we just play some of the stuff we've already done. But no, have a look at the website, refereesworld.co.uk. If you're searching for it online, just do a search for The Referees World Podcast. You can also sign up to the likes of Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, any podcast provider, and you should be able to find us that way. When you do get to the website, just pop your email into the little subscribe box, okay? And then that will help you get notified when there is a new episode available, all right? And just a reminder that the website address is refereesworld.co.uk. Rich, I'll catch you next time.
Cheers.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.